for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 23rd, Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Clement Humbard is the minister of the morning.
Amen. We're privileged to have Brother Clement come and be part of the campground here and minister for us. Brother Clement Humbard. Amen. We're privileged to have Brother Clement come and be part of the campground here and minister for us. Brother Clement Humbard.
This generation is destined to know the Lord Jesus Christ more intimately and personally than any generation that has ever lived. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, after writing much of the New Testament inspired by the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God is God in brief, he said, "Oh, that I might know him." Paul, don't you know him? Yes, he wanted to know him more. Hasn't he saved you? Yes, he knocked me down on the road to Damascus, and he blinded me. And I asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom thou persecutest, Jesus." But Paul said in his defense, later in the book of Acts, that the voice was in the Hebrew tongue. But Apostle Paul said the very heartbeat of his life is that I might know him. Then, right hurriedly, I'd say this. Later in Philippians, he said this, "Oh, that I might be partaker also of his resurrection." He knew, he had written that all of the saints of God are to be partakers of his resurrection. But this particular time, it said, X, it's the only place in the Bible, EX, that we get the word exit from. Oh, that I might be one of them that doesn't have to go through death, but I'll be out of that resurrection, that I can know him more and be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth again. Is his desire. He wanted to stay out of the so-called resurrection of the saints.
Yes.
Jesus mentioned that, and I've got to be brief on these introduction remarks, but Jesus mentioned that a generation would arise, a G-E-N-E-A, a generation. He said all the blood of the prophets would be upon this generation, Jesus said, and it was when Titus marched in Jerusalem A.D. 70 and destroyed the city and the lifeblood ran down the gutters, and they crucified so many people. Because the religious leaders had said at the death of Jesus and his trial, "Let his blood be upon us and our children."
Yes.
Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say before God. "I'd never do that. I'll never be like one of them." Be careful.
Amen. Amen.
But he said a particular generation would arise. I don't know if it's 33 years, 70 years or what, and it doesn't make any difference. But he said a certain generation would arise, and that generation would see the signs. See, God works through signs.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Doesn't work. It might sometimes parallel with man-made calendar, but God works through supernatural events.
Yes, he does.
When this happens, and this happens, and this happens, then this great thing is going to happen.
Amen.
No man knows the day or the hour exactly. that the Lord Jesus Christ personally comes back to this earth. But let me tell you, for and as in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive, change, caught up to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and the Lord will descend with a shout. And if he descends with a shout, we can shout once in a while, he is going to come, and he is going to send. All scriptural truth is related to three facts. He is coming, he has come, and he is coming again. But he said a particular generation to rise. Now, thank God for a remnant.
Amen.
You know, but I guess Glenn should never announce I'm going to speak. It seems like the audience is always less and not more. But that doesn't bother me a bit, really, but it's just from an observation standpoint. Thank God for the remnant. And you and I are here.
Amen.
You know, Jesus had this thing right. He didn't say, if 2,000 of you are together, 200 or 300, what did he say?
If 2 or 3.
If just 2 or 3.
Yes.
He's promised to be in the midst also. Now, I was mentioning this generation thing. I'm fully persuaded that God, in his timetable, doesn't have time to raise up another generation.
I believe it.
Some of the older ones he's taking home. And I am not of this whim and idea like my friend Benny Hinn. I had to correct him. Benny said, oh, God's through with all of the old people. He never uses old, he uses young. Said he's raising up a new army and it's all young. He can use anybody. I went after service and I said, Benny, did you ever hear of Abraham? God didn't even call him out to leave his family till he's 75.
Moses.
And his promise, he was 100 years old when the heir was born,
Amen.
The seed.
Yes.
You ever hear of Moses on the backside of the desert, leading sheep around? He could have been the most powerful man on earth.
Amen.
Down in Egypt.
Amen.
Out in world.
Amen.
With the Egyptian mentality. He could have been sitting on the throne of Pharaoh, the most powerful nation for kingdom for thousands of years in that dynasty. But no, he is on the backside of the desert tending the sheep.
Which could have been the next Pharaoh.
Exactly. And you know what? He stayed there so long he forgot to speak because he is eloquent when he is, but he's on the backside of the desert before that burning bush. And God said in Genesis 3:14, I am that I am. And this is a memorial for me forever. Now, God can use anybody. But I believe that we're so near end of things. And see, at the end of a dispensation and begin, and I'm not too strict on man-made order, the man putting the dispensation, but it is such a thing. There was a dispensation of law, or a time, or a period of law where God is dealing in particular ways. There was a dispensation of innocence and so forth, and then a dispensation of grace. But I told you they misnamed that one. It's misnomer. It should be grace and glory.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
Just grace.
Amen.
Grace and glory. So, now, at the ending of a so-called period or dispensation, we'll use that word, at the end of one and the beginning of another, things accelerate.
Yes, they do, brother.
They start moving fast.
Yes. Yes.
And then law doesn't stop. Wham! And grace begins. Wham! When did law stop? When Jesus was born, when he started his ministry, when he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, when he died upon Calvary, when he raised from the dead, when the Holy Ghost was descended in the upper room. See, we can't get too technical, can we? Because we take one scripture to try to prove it, and other scriptures to show that it leaves some leeway. But what I'm trying to say, what's going to be in one dispensation, there's always John the Baptist and forerunners that will reach out there.
Amen.
And pull some of the blessings of God of the next period, the next epoch, the next area. They'll take what's going to be and bring it right now into reality with the children of God.
Amen.
Well, thank God about 5 or 6 of you knew what I was trying to, trying to say.
Hallelujah. It's the truth, my brother.
Now, so I firmly believe that God doesn't have time to train all the new ones.
No, he doesn't, brother.
You know, when you're first saved, Christ is just so real, and you just love everybody, and you get about 4 or 5 scriptures, and God's revelation on them. Oh, you just know it all, and you got it all, but you're still hungry for more. When you've been around 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and God slowly lifts you higher and higher and higher,
that's it, my brother.
You see more and more and more that we don't know 0.001% of anything.
Amen.
But thank
Amen.
God we do know Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God we know Him.
Amen.
So, I'd like to discuss a few little things God laid upon my heart. I said that this generation is destined to know the Lord Jesus Christ more intimately than any generation. The heart and spirit of an unnumbered company around this world hungers and thirsts after God, not for the works of God only, but for the ways of
Amen,
God.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, Moses knew the ways of God. He said, Lord, show me thy ways. The children of Israel needed the works of God. I am not here to belittle anything that God does or any work of God, any manifestation of God, a revelation of God to his people. But I think it's high time that the church realized we are who God says we are.
Amen. Amen.
We can do who God
yes,
says
sir.
We can do.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to give me a little leeway. I would grant this to you when you speak here. I pray that you will not sit in judgment on some of the revolutionary, unusual, odd things that I say. I'm not a minister trying to reach a lot of little new, novel, cute ideas and sling them out and run with them. But I have some basic convictions of God after walking this pathway over a half a century, and I don't know it all. I hadn't got it all. But here's what I'm asking. If I happen to step on your toe or your pet peeve or your little blessing or something else, or the way you describe something or the revelation of truth, remember, most of us as Christians, and God bless us, we think what we believe is pure truth and pure truth. What anyone else believes is a difference.
That's it,
it's
brother.
Error.
That's it, brother.
Well, you know, sometimes we might be in a little bit of
That's
error.
True. Amen. Amen.
And you say, well, not as well, as fallen Jesus, sometimes he has to jerk out the kinks and change. How many have ever had God's Spirit and God's Word or some dear child of God sort of straighten you out on something you was a little wrong on?
Amen.
See?
Amen.
But you thought you knew it. You thought you had it right. Now, not only are we destined to know, but there's people around this world that's hungry and thirst after God. And they're saying, like Exodus 33:13, show me now, Lord, thy way, that I might know thee. I spoke on it a few Sundays ago here at the camp. David said not only as the scripture, I believe, Psalms 42:1, 2, and 3 that's mentioned last night by our dear brother, but it said my spirit soul thirsteth after God like a hart does a water brook. But Psalmist later said that my flesh cries out to God. Your very being. We always use the flesh in a dirty, nasty, carnal way. That's part of God's truth. Get out of the flesh into the Spirit. And you're not in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Read Romans 8 chapter, and also in Romans, but I want to tell you something. If the flesh is a temple of the Holy Spirit, it's not so ungodly after all, is it?
Amen.
Now, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life, the sins of the flesh, they are awful, and God's against them ever since the Garden of Eden. Because they were tried on those three things in the Garden of Eden, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But he said, my flesh, the very cells of your body can cry out to the true and the living God.
Amen. Amen.
Your soul, your spirit, your mind, your muscles, the nerves, the bones, the sinews can cry out for the true and the living God. You thought that that was just you meaning business or the Spirit of God helping you to pursue God. But no, it's beyond that. Because the Bible said that we're bone of his bone. What? It said we're flesh of his flesh in Ephesians. Then it said in Colossians, I believe, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. My Lord and my God, what a salvation. If you're trying to be a Christian, forget it. Quit trying. If you're trying to serve God, forget it. If you're trying to praise the Lord, forget it. If you're trying to sing, forget it. If you're trying to pray, forget it. If you're trying to please God, forget it. If you're trying to obey God, forget it. God's baboons say, try to believe and I'll try to save you. What I'm saying is, don't try to believe, believe him. Don't try to pray, pray. Don't try to sing, sing. Don't try to shout, shout. Don't try to serve God, serve him. Don't try to please God, please him. Can somebody say amen? Now, right ahead of us, we shall be surrendered and reconciled to the sovereignty of Almighty God. We, as Holy Spirit people and so forth, you know, with our little song and dance, many times, little merry-go-round, round, round, around we go. We have a good time, don't we?
Yes.
But we don't accomplish much. See, a merry-go-round, a carousel, it takes you in a circle, but it doesn't accomplish anything. But God has shown us that he wants us on the white horses of power.
Amen.
And
amen.
I spoke of seven sources of power just recently here. Any of you here? Mm-hmm. The power in the precious blood, the power in the name, the power of the Holy Spirit, so forth. All right.
Beautiful.
Now see, a horse will take you somewhere. A horse will work. It'll accomplish things.
Yes.
It'll move. But a little hobby horse won't do it.
No, it will not.
Around and around. Oh, we'll have a good time. Go out there and watch the kids get up on those little hobby horse things. Why, they just have the time of their life. Now, Christianity is a, and I quote and use the word religion, but see, it's always used in a bad way in the Word of God because that means superstition.
Yes, it does.
But I fear that many of us have a lot of superstition. We've got a lot of religion, you know.
It is, brother.
And we have superstition. But Christianity is a religion of natural joy and happiness.
Yes,
you can be happy when you're sad.
Yes, yes.
You can be full of joy when all hell turns loose. When everything goes backwards. But we're going to be surrendered and reconciled to the sovereignty of Almighty God and the sovereignty of Emmanuel. If in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, it speaks his name shall be called Emmanuel, why wasn't he named Emmanuel? That is not a proper name as such. That is a divine characteristic of the Son of God that was going to come upon this earth. And what does it mean?
God with us.
When it mentions God with us time and time again in the Scriptures, the Word of God will say that God may dwell with them. And then, from these same terms, we get the word Shekinah. God's presence.
Yes.
Practice the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
Emmanuel. Now, we shall be reconciled to the sovereignty of God, and we as Holy Ghost people and so forth, we have forgotten one thing of our heritage and tradition. All tradition is not bunk and baloney and man-made. There's good tradition and there's bad tradition. Now, some of our denominational people hold on to it, and they mention it, although they may not understand it, and who really understands it from A to Z. But we have forgotten the sovereignty of Almighty God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God's going to have a church and a people in these closing days of time that not only will recognize the sovereignty of God and realize the sovereignty of God, but these people are going to walk in the sovereignty of Almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
The sovereign God. Now, the Dutch reformers, and I use the term sometimes, the crown right of Emmanuel. I understand that's where it came from. But let me get it in street language. When we speak of the sovereignty of God, we simply mean this. God is who he says he is.
Yes.
And God can do what He wants to, with whom He wants to, where He wants to, how He wants to. And He doesn't answer to headquarters, hindquarters, your ideas, my ideas, the first church. He doesn't answer to your opinions. He doesn't answer to my opinions. He doesn't give an answer to me or to you. He answers to no one but Himself. That's the sovereign of Almighty God. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Amen.
What? Romans 9:15-16. He originally said it to Moses. I'll have mercy where I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It's none of your and my business what God does or with whom He uses. We can only say amen and get out of the way.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So then it is not him that willeth. Oh, I thought if you willed it enough and quoted enough, claimed it enough, spoke it enough, confess it enough, you've got it. Well, that's not exactly what it said.
No, it isn't.
That's a certain fragment of truth, confessing. So then it is not him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
But thanks God, thanks be unto God, I want you to know that in the future we're going to be surrounded, subdued, saturated, and penetrated with the awesome, awesome glory of Emmanuel.
Hallelujah.
For in Him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17:28. What else? Isaiah 40:21, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In Numbers 14:21, and the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Hebrews 2:10, third part of the scripture. Bringing many sons into glory. I like what Habakkuk said. I quoted a scripture out of Habakkuk last night. How you can rejoice when everything goes wrong and still have perfect faith in God. But Habakkuk 2:14 said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Psalm 72:19 said, let the whole earth be filled with His glory.
Amen.
Now, when God prophesied through the prophets of old concerning salvation, which means deliverance, the word means deliverance, it implies, just the basic word implies divine healing for soul, spirit, mind, and body. But when God would use the prophets to tell us. And then, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, it said, all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord our God. How many?
All.
All flesh. And the promise of salvation is to whosoever will in John 3:16. That God so loved the whole world, that whosoever. Now, how many in this place know that God is still able to save a Muslim, a Buddhist?
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
How many know that God's able to save Christians out of a Christian nation?
Amen.
Now, salvation is to all flesh. All flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord of God. But wait a minute. The Bible also said, particularly from the prophet Joel, in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. We've got this thing all mixed up. We try to grab one or two that's hungry for more of God, and we beat them in the back and get them to say, glory, 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 glug, 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 and you've almost got it. God said He's going to pour it out.
Amen.
Now, the empowering of the Holy Spirit can be to any individual. But that's not God's divine purpose. God's purpose is that it's poured out on a whole congregation.
Amen.
Baptize and rebaptize and fill with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm going to stop and say amen,
amen.
Brother
amen.
Miller. I know good preaching when I hear it. Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen.
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 That's all right. We've been preaching long. We can say amen.
Yeah. We say, mercy drops round us are falling. Yeah, and that's all we believe for. Let's say, Lord, you promised a pour, and we're expecting a pouring.
Amen.
Each individual heart will feel like that's personally ever they're receiving the fullness. But I want to tell you, God wants to do it in mass, just like he did in the early days of the church.
Yes.
He said, well, Brother Clem, I guess we're to get back to the early Testament new Christianity. No. We've got to get back to the day of Pentecost. No. Well, I wish we had what they had. That's what people say. I say no.
That's exactly right.
The church has had 2,000 years to go beyond what
Amen.
They had.
Amen.
We ought to be 2,000 years down the road,
Amen.
Knowing
Amen.
God and the power of God and the supernatural works of God.
Yes.
Not by might and the power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So, salvation is for all flesh. The indwelling and fullness of the Holy Spirit is for all flesh. And I just gave you scriptures here that said, all flesh shall see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about a little ray of glory. I'm not talking about the best all-night prayer meeting you've ever been in, and you come out and say, glory to God, and the glory was there. I'm not talking about any of these books necessarily. I haven't read them all. But in these books, it's declaring the glory of God. This thing began with Emmanuel, God dwelling with man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For salvation to be absolutely 100% complete, this thing has to end with God the Father again dwelling
Amen.
With man.
Amen.
You say, oh, Brother Clem, that's in the sweet by and by.
No, it isn't.
Says who?
Yeah.
Everything almost that the church has to pay a price for, a leap out of man-made wisdom and human reasoning and understanding. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter says, no man knows the things of the Spirit of God except the Spirit. And said that man will know man by the Spirit that it is in man, but said God hath revealed them to us. I have not seen and ear heard, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. It takes a supernatural divine revelation, and that divine revelation, I'm trying to touch on it today, and may God use it to uplift you and build you up in the most holy faith. I'm simply saying that we haven't even got our ankles wet yet in the great river of God. I'm saying that we haven't scratched the surface.
Amen.
I'm saying this, there is more than the height and the breadth that we could imagine and comprehend. There's more and more out there that we've never touched yet or we've never reached.
Amen.
Now, let's take another little step. Maybe we'll back up a little. Well, I'll go ahead and then maybe I'll get to it. What's going to happen to the church? I'll just tell you right now, the church is not the most, the greatest, the ultimate, the highest thing that God has. What, Brother Clem? Yeah. Thank God for the church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He loved the church.
Yes, sir.
Galatians 5th chapter, verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Thank God for it. Church. But we've been taught all our life, that's it. The church.
It isn't.
But he's not only the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you heard me say this in a message previously, but a stone is a stone. A head is a head. And our theologians have mixed the two for a couple of thousand years, you know, or several hundreds of years, at least since the Reformation. And they make the church and the temple or the house identical, same thing.
Amen. Amen.
They're not.
There certainly isn't.
Christ is head of the church.
Yes, sir.
But he is the chief cornerstone of the spiritual house. Now, go to Ephesians 2nd chapter with me. Oh, I've got so much to cover. I better try to just stay right on this if I can, right on the main things, because any of you ministers ever feel like that after you got through with a sermon that it's almost a complete flop and failure for his delivery is concerned because there's so much you didn't get to?
Right. That's That's the truth. That's the truth.
And, of course, his word won't return void. But notice this. Chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and pilgrims or sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Ephesians 2, 19. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Does that sound like a body? We're bone of his bone, but Peter, 1 Peter 2nd chapter said we're lively stones of the spiritual building.
Yes, sir.
They're in a mix. They're entwined, but they're not the same. It said here, Christ being the chief cornerstone, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together, what's the next word?
Growing.
What is it?
Growing.
Growing.
What? If the church, the body, is identically the same with the house, the temple of God, then it's going to be abnormal, a monstrosity, because it's growing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
They're not the same. I'm just saying that God's not through by having a church on this earth.
No, he isn't.
Let me say it this way. The church existence, it's not its own objective.
No, it's not.
Amen.
And we think it is, you know. We've been taught it is. But it groweth. All right, let's go from the word groweth. Groweth unto a what?
Holy temple.
A body is a body. A temple is a temple.
Yes, it is.
You say, well, the Bible said your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it did. But if you'll spend a little study in the two portions in Corinthians concerning the Spirit, and if it's singular or plural, which I can't get into right this moment, you'll find there's no contradiction here. Groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Everybody read that portion and mention for and read it. For a habitation of God through the Spirit. When you're saved, thank God for it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God the Son has a habitation.
Yes, amen.
When you're filled with the Spirit, God the Spirit has a habitation. But God the Father is going to have a habitation. When you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit bestowing everlasting eternal life, Z-O-E, or you're not even saved.
Right.
Bible said, if any man have not, Romans 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his.
Right.
But you can be saved with life, Z-O-E, and not be saved with power, great power. The dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, ye shall receive power. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, go and tarry in Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. And Acts 1:9, you'll be witnesses for me after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So saved people, they have the Holy Spirit giving them life, or they'd be dead in trespass and sin. Who's the life giver?
Jesus.
Jesus. In him was life. That life more abundant. So, the saved person has the Zoe, life of the Spirit, but not necessarily the power of the Spirit. He said, you go and tear in Jerusalem, do you be in do? Now that, you know, there's a scripture, and probably you've wondered about it. There in the Gospel of John, the resurrected Savior appeared to his disciples, and he breathed upon them.
Yes, he did.
He breathed upon them. And he said, Lebotos. Right now, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he turned around and said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from heaven. See, a transition period, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, the life, the life. Now, since he's going to be apart from them, he breathed on them the breath of life.
Yes, he did, yes.
He breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul.
Yes.
So he breathed into them that they're saved. They have the Spirit bestowing life. But then, in the same chapter, he told them to go and tarry till they be endued with power from on high. So, If you're saved, God the Son has a habitation. Amen?
Yes.
If you're filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit has a habitation. Amen? Know thee not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? But let me say it this way. God the Father doesn't have a habitation. When you're saved, you have the Spirit through the Son, and you have the Father through the Son. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are saved and have the God the Son, God the Spirit, but you have God the Father through the Son and in the Son and by the Son. Now, God's going to have His own day.
Amen.
And if it started off for salvation to be 100% complete, we're not going to look in the sweet by and by. If you want to keep putting all the promises of God and the glory of God out in an early age, that's to your loss, but I'm
Amen.
Not going to be guilty of it.
Amen. Amen.
Let me help you. Let me help you a little bit. In Mark, the 16th chapter, the dominion of the believer, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And the disciples went forth everywhere, preaching the word. And the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now look at this. This fivefold dominion of the believer there, it is, first of all, it is dominion over the spiritual world. In my name they'll cast out devils. Then it's dominion in the manner of life and conversation. Here it said they shall speak with K-A-I-N-O-S, tongues. In the book of Acts, second chapter, verse 4, it said they spake with H-E-T-R-O-S, others. Heterosexual, you know what that means. And it said they shall... I'm not standing here arguing or trying to prick you up a little bit or something else by arguing whether the refreshed tongue is the same as the other tongue. But the Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit in the original languages, used both terms. So we have dominion over the spiritual foul, evil devil. He said, I give you victory over serpents and scorpions and power over, not with. You don't want power with the devil. You want power over the devil. And he said, you'll tread upon them. So, then he said this, they shall take up serpents. This is according to need and plan of the sovereign God and his divine will. It's the natural world, not just snakes and serpents. He's already taken care of evil powers. Yes. Mentioned snakes and serpents in the first part, cast out demons. But this is in the natural world. Elijah was a man, James 5th chapter, as subject passions we are, but he conquered those like passions, and he locked the rain in the heaven 3.5 years to get a Holy Ghost revival in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. Yes. Then he said he prayed again, and the earth gave forth the heavens gave forth the rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And he said the prayer of faith of a righteous man availeth much. So the church should have power over the natural elements according to God's will.
Yes.
You can pray tornadoes off. You can speak them off.
Amen. Amen.
You can speak blizzards away. In the future, I wouldn't be surprised that people weren't calling the campground to get the weather report.
I would accept it. Yes, sir. I would accept it.
Why not? Now it said, if they drink any deadly thing, that is merely divine safety. Divine authority over the spirit world, cast out devils. Divine authority over your own life, your conversation, speaking with new tongues. Divine authority over nature. Now, divine safety of the believer. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. Then last of all, divine health. I don't believe in divine healing. I believe in divine health.
Amen. Yes, sir, brother.
And I've never preached a sermon of a leading Baptist church through a miracle in Atlanta, Georgia, wanted me to come out on Sunday morning and preach on divine healing. I said, I don't do that. Why? What do you mean? He said, we saw you dead. 11 days later, you walk out of the hospital completely healed by the power of God. I said, I don't preach divine healing.
Divine healing.
I preach the divine healer and divine health.
Yes, sir. Walking to divine
healing. It was never God's best for the church to have to hold healing revivals and always pray for the sick. God bless every one of us with any ailment in our physical body this very moment. But I want to tell you, as I see this thing in Jesus' ministry in the book of Acts, and I thought that was our example. He said, you go into a city, heal the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead, then preach to them. See, divine healing was primarily to reach the non-church, the non-Christian, not the Christian. Why don't we have a record of the apostles in the early church, all of them lingering around on a deathbed 4 or 5 years and then kicking the bucket? We don't have it. We do have that they raise the dead. People on the deathbed, they just walked by and said, Aeneas, rise. Crippled man at the gate, beautiful, arise in the name of Jesus. So, divine health. Now, these five things I mentioned, the only reason I mention them is this. That is a foretaste of the hereafter.
Yes, it is.
That is a sample case of what's going to be. Now, if there's great glory out there, there can be great glory now. See, in heaven, there'll be no sin. But God can take sin out of you now.
Amen.
Then someday He'll place you in an environment where there is no sin. In heaven, there's no sickness or disease. But God can heal our physical body right now as a foretaste of what's going to be over there. The resurrected life that neither get hot nor cold or old or feeble or sick or weak. A glorious body, the Bible said, fashioned like unto His body. A glorified body, you could just be on this earth and you don't have to go to the door, just walk right through the wall. You're on the other side. People can touch you. They can feed you. You can have drink as a body like Jesus had. So, then that third thing, you know what it said? And this is a foretaste of glory. Everything will be perfect on the hillsides of glory. Then we'll have divine safety and divine health. So let's go on. You say, well, I'm expecting the glory of God. Let's see what the Bible says about some of these things. In Ezekiel 43:10, it said, Ezekiel, and this is wonderful. You have to read the whole book of Ezekiel, but it's a wonderful thing. The glory of God leaving the temple and how it left, and the glory of God coming and the glory of God leaving the temple. But the oddest thing that Ezekiel said was this to me, Ezekiel 43:10, he said, show the house to the house. Show the house to the house. You know what it implies? It implies the house doesn't know who they are. See, almost all of our problems, if we knew who God is and who we are, and if we knew the ways of God, not the works of God, it would solve practically every problem.
Amen.
Out there and live in sin if you really know who God is and who you are.
Amen.
You won't dwell in defeat if you really know who God is and who you are. So he said, show the house to the house.
Yes, sir.
Implying God's own don't even know. Evidently, the children of Israel did not know what and who the house was. He was to show. That's to put before, a place before. That's what I'm trying to do a little somewhat today. Place before them the unique form, the fashion, the entrance, the written laws, and its ordinance that they might do them. Everything about the house was to be most holy. He said, this is the law of the house. Show the house to the house. The people must be shown who they are and who they are to become. Now, everything that Christ is, we are to be the result of who He is. Now, in 2 Peter 1:4, it said, all these precious promises are that you might be partaker of the divine nature, escaping the lust, corruption of the lust of this world. Partaker of the divine nature. If I understand this thing at all, God took on human nature through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He did not begin out in Bethlehem's stable. He created the worlds and brought them into existence.
Exactly.
But God put flesh on through flesh and blood through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe he is the Son of God? Not
Amen.
A... All right.
Amen.
Then if he's the Son of God, the Bible says we are sons of God.
That's the truth.
See, what he is, we are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're afraid to acknowledge it, though.
Yeah.
Now, he said, I am the light of the world. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
Then he turned around and said, ye are lights in the world.
Yes, sir.
So let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen? Now, the Bible said that he is the righteousness of God. If you want righteousness personified, if you want love personified, if you want mercy personified, he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If you want any of those words personified, look to the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Christ, the anointed of God, the Christos, the Messiah. We've got to confess that, Romans 10th chapter, or we're not even saved. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved, but he's not Lord of my life. You better get your theology straightened out.
Amen.
You've got to confess him as Lord to be saved.
Yes, sir.
You've been taught wrong.
Yes, sir.
You've been taught wrong.
Yes.
You're sort of halfway in. I'm not trying to judge your eternal destiny of your soul, but you're sort of halfway in and halfway out. And in the Bible, I have no place to put you. If any man be in Christ, didn't say halfway in, he's a new creature.
Yes, sir.
You declare he is Lord. Not a, well, I declare he's Savior of my life, but he ain't Lord yet. You need your head examined, and you need to examine the Word of God. Because there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but then thereof is the way of death. So, here is God manifest in the flesh through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible said, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he that knew no sin, who was that? Christ Jesus. Became sin. Now, I want you to notice, this, when he became sin, is the very principle of sin. When Christ is on the cross, the whole universe, the underworld, heaven and earth and hell, could point to Calvary and say, there is sin. He never committed a sin, but he became sin. The very principle of sin. See, because we are of Western culture, and most of us in this room are products, whether they want to acknowledge or not, of Western civilization, ancient Greece, 2,600 years ago, the Roman Empire and European people, and we are products in that thinking. But see, in the Mideast, verbs become nouns. Adjectives become personal pronouns, and they're in God's Word, and sometimes we don't understand because we put this, thank God he has mercy and saves us anyway. But there's so much that we miss. See, when it said he became sin, that was his title temporarily. There is sin. Don't you love him for what he's done for us?
Amen.
It said, he that you know sin became sin that we might become what?
The righteousness of God.
Lift your hand and say, I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
Say it again.
I am the righteousness of
God. One more time.
I am the righteousness of God.
Now, you say, Brother Clement, I'm not going to dare lift my hand because I'm not truly righteous. You'll never be till you start confessing.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Now, I'm not talking of a hypocrite that runs around trying to show off and talks all the time how righteous I am.
That's right.
I'm speaking of a humble, sincere, broken heart before God. Although they feel and sense and the Holy Spirit shows the blemish, the spot, the unrighteousness. Come on now. They say, by faith. See, this whole thing operates and founded by faith. You had to believe God saved you a split second or a few minutes or a few hours. And some people I've seen, it's a few days before the real witness and the knowledge comes. You have to believe that God saves you before he saves you. Now, in the sovereignty of God, he can heal you before you believe. But the normal rule is this. You've got to believe you are healed. By his stripes you were healed and ye are healed before healing ever comes. Well, I ain't going to confess. I've got all of this thing in my body, and I ain't going to confess a lie. I ain't no hypocrite. Well, you'll just stay all crippled up then. You'll never have a divine miracle, a divine intervention in your life, because according to your word, so be it unto you.
Amen.
Now, the only way the Holy Spirit of God can forgive me of my sins, when I call on the name of the Lord, I have to have faith and say, God, be merciful, be a sinner, save me.
Amen.
Save me, Lord. Thank you, you said you saved me. Thank you, Jesus. You'll be saved.
Yes, yes.
And I said the normal thing on healing, although God doesn't work just one way, He works many ways. You can't bring God down to just one little thing, just like you got it or experienced it. He's greater than human experience. So, now, I want you to lift your hand and say, I am a son of God.
I am a son of God.
Now I want you to lift your hand and say this, I am a light in the world.
I am a light in the world.
Now, I want to show you something else that might help you. In Psalms 120, verse 7, I believe it is, it said, they're for war, but I am for peace. It didn't say that. Those translators 400 years ago, they didn't know what it said, so they added some words in italics so the little human reasoning could grasp it. They should have left God's word just like it is. It said this, I, peace. See, in the original language, the Hebrew language, the personal pronoun carries its own verb. You don't have to say, you know, you don't have to say, I am glad. You just say, I'm glad. I, peace.
Yes, sir.
He said, the only way that that can make sense in the Western world is this, I am peace.
Yes, sir.
Now, what am I telling you?
A man of peace.
You say, well, praise God, I have the peace of God. Oh, come on, wake up. That's babyhood Christianity. Gimme, gimme, and Lord, forgive me, forgive me. I'm telling you, we are who God says we are and who Christ is. We are a product of what He is.
Amen. Amen.
In the 8th chapter of John, he said, verse 24, if you don't believe I am, and it's in capital letters in all the Bibles till the turn of the century, and now they changed it because they knew. And it didn't say I am He. It said, if you do not believe I am, the great I am that spoke out of the burning bush and spoke to Moses, delivered the Hebrew children from Egyptian bondage. You do not believe I'm the God that created the heaven and the earth. If you do not believe I delivered Daniel from the lion's den and the Hebrew children from the fire furnace. If you do not believe I'm Moses, great I am. Jesus said in verse 24, you'll die in your sins. How many like to be identified with Christ?
Amen. Amen.
That's what I'm trying to do right now. Show you. You are. So you claim. You believe it. In verse 26, what did he say? He said, when the Son of Man is uplifted, when I'm uplifted, you'll know that I am.
Yes, sir.
Not I am He. I am. Then in verse 58, right before verse 58, he said, Jesus said this, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. They said, ho, ho, ho. Listen to these religious knuckleheads.
Yeah.
You said Abraham saw your day and you're not even 50 years old yet? He said what? Before Abraham was,
I am.
Now, if He is, we are too. We're partaker of the divine nature. He came to this earth to take on human nature that we might take on the divine nature. He, God, became a man. God took the nature of man that man may, through faith, take the nature of God. You're not a God.
No.
You see, that smacks with Eastern religion. Sure, everything God has, the devil runs out of counterfeit to scare
Amen.
The church away from
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Before Abraham was, I am.
I am.
So we're the righteous God. What about this? Let me give you one more right quickly here. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, he speaks about how to know the spirits. If they'll confess it, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. But after that, he spends his time speaking of love. 1 John, 4th chapter. Twice he says, God is love. Again he says, God is love. Verse 17, the last part said,
yes.
As He is, who? God?
Yes.
Is what? Love.
Yes.
So are we in the sweet by and by.
No, in this present age.
So are we in this present age, this present world.
Yes, sir. This present age.
Lift your hand and say, I am love.
I am love.
Through God's grace.
Through
the ministry of the Spirit.
Through the ministry of the Spirit.
Through the precious blood.
Through the precious blood.
And the love of God.
And the love of God.
I am what He is.
I am what He is.
I am what He says I am.
I am what He says I am.
And I am love.
I am love.
See, people say, well, we get the peace of God. There's something beyond it. It is you become peace. One is like a work. The other is in being. One is a work of God, and the other is the ways of God.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith it is impossible. Please God, he that cometh to God must believe that what?
He is.
That God is. We always get the cart before the horse. We say, now, honey bunch, God can save you. God can change things here in this home. God can heal you. That is true. But we should go in there and say, here's who God is and who Jesus Christ makes claims, and we're pressing those claims on you of who God is and who God is manifest in the flesh. Now, this God I'm telling you about, he can take care of all this thing.
Amen.
So there, let's not put the cart before the horse. Faith believes God is first. Is. And then who we are in God. Then what God can do, the works of God. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir, buddy. Amen.
Now, in Psalms, 104, verse 9, it said, I give myself to prayer. Italics again, it said, I prayer.
Yeah.
Beyond praying, you can become prayer.
Oh, yes.
Whatsoever thing you desire, your very desires can become a prayer unto God. Now, you say, I don't understand this. You don't. People be talking, and here comes a neighbor, and you say, oh, here comes trouble. People ought to say, here comes love. Here comes peace. Here comes prayer. Oh, Lord, help us and help me.
Joy.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I have to just turn aside. I have to turn aside the revelation of God. How many believe that God is going to do something else on this earth before it's all
yes,
summed
sir,
up?
Brother,
yes, all right.
Amen.
All right. Thank God for what He's doing. But thank God for what He shall do yet upon this earth.
Yes, sir.
Every great move of the Spirit of God is with a fresh new revelation of not what God does. I want you to get this, but who God is. My dear friend, and I've preached for him before God took him home to glory, knew him somewhat personally, C.M. Ward, revival time and all. Great speaker. But in his latter years on TBN and other ways, and I can't get Christian television, they was telling me this last week at Benny Hinn is telling about God telling me to take a certain book to him and so forth. Yes, that did happen. But C.M. Ward on TBN. But see, if I pick up the phone and call today, ministers don't ever get where you can't be reached. My Lord, sometimes I've had a divine prophetic word for one of the leading ministers of America, and usually I get to them, but you have to go through all of their henchmen and so-called bodyguards. I understand people could press through and touch the hem of Jesus' garment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother. That is the truth. That is the truth.
They get so mighty and high and holy and say, well, you don't understand the big meetings. I beg your pardon. I spent 40 years of my life in so-called big ministry. But I want to tell you, one thing I can even say for my brother, after a rally, if he comes here to this convention center, he hasn't been here in about 20 years, after that service, anybody can go up and talk to him. He'll pray with you. He'll encourage you. Finally, they say, we got to get to the airport or something. But he spent a half hour, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. But God will give a divine word. Then you can't give it. You can't get to the person. So, let's get back to this main thing. I'm sorry, I even lost my thought there. I'm honest.
That's great, brother. It needed to be said.
But C.M. Ward, that's it. C.M. Ward, he'd get on TBN and he'd say this. Now, at the turn of the century, well, my dad was in Hot Springs here as a young flaming evangelist and minister when the Assembly of God was formed, and he's in the original founder's picture, the little slim tall fellow, the youngest one. And it wasn't his idea to get in the picture. They had to come out in the crowd and pull him out. And he said, "No, I'm not one of the founders." Said, "Yes, you're in this founder's picture, Brother Hubbard, and if you don't come, there's not going to be a picture made." And everybody said, "Go, go, go," and they drug him up there. So they said this, and C.M. Ward, God bless him. They said, now at the turn of the century, people were sort of sick and tired. I'm just, you know, loosely quoting it. They're sick and tired of former religion. And God started moving in signs, wonders, and miracles, started healing, and this and that and the other. And we had the outpouring spirit, and people started denying gifts of spirit, and especially speaking in tongues. And said, that brought the great Pentecostal revival. Can't you see them all get up on Seth and Jan and Paul? Hallelujah, oh, glory to God. That's not true. The works of God don't bring a genuine moving of the Spirit of God. The revelation of who God is brings.
Amen.
Now, let me give you something right quickly. 400 or 500 years ago in Europe, Roman Catholicism had kept the world in bondage for 1,000 years of dark ages. Men, Calvin, Luther, and a lot of others, all over Europe, France, Switzerland, and in England. The cock crow was sounding for the Reformation. God said, I'm a righteous God. Well, he's always been a righteous God. And some of these said, how can I be made righteous? Oh, the just shall live by faith. I can be made righteous. I don't have to kiss the Pope's toe.
No, sir.
A ring.
No, sir.
I don't have to go through all these sacraments. I can just have faith. And they saw. And that began the great Protestant revival, Reformation, Revolution. 200 years later, bloodbath in France, but the mercy of God spared England. Historians say that the revolution in France, you remember they beheaded their monarchs and so forth and so on, an awful time period in France's history. Historians say that that was going to leap across the channel and go into England. But God said, you know what? God had a revelation. I'm a holy God. He's always been a holy God.
Yes,
hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
The angel in heaven, they sing, holy, holy. They don't say, holy, holy, holy. They say, holy. See, they've got all eternity.
Amen.
You won't say a word when you get to heaven. You won't say a word. You won't say a word. Glenn, I'm afraid you won't say a word when you get to heaven. You'll sing. You'll sing. In heaven, it didn't say they'll be singing. In the original, it said they'll be singing. If you don't believe that, oh my. You'll have to come back sometime. I'm going to preach on song. And I'm going to show you that the whole universe was created by music vibration. And I'm going to show you that in the book of Genesis, God didn't say, let there be light. God said, let there be light.
Amen.
He sang the worlds into existence.
Amen. Amen.
That's part of this I am. You know, the Bible said, I've become the song of drunkards. And finally, even David didn't sing, I sing a new song unto the Lord. He said, I am song. Everybody singing the grubby mubs. Everybody singing the blues. Everybody singing in a minor key. Oh, it's bad and it'll get worse. Your life is a song.
Amen.
You personally become a song unto God.
Hallelujah.
Every one of us are to be the sweet songster over in glory like David was when he was on this earth and like God's man here. Words fail me right now. I know the words. I can't get them out. No, I don't mean his name. I know his name. But we don't know anyone unless the Spirit of God reveals who we are.
Yeah.
We don't. We think we do, but we don't. In the spiritual world, we don't know who each other is, but only what God really reveals. But all of us will be sweet psalmists. That's the word I was trying to find.
Psalmist of Israel.
Psalmist.
Yes.
We'll sing throughout eternity. Now, you say, I don't believe that. Brother, you can say one word, and I can go to that piano and find, I'm a musician, I can find that tone. You're singing and didn't know you were singing. When you speak, I can say, speak, and run over there, and I can find the note. We'll match that. Speak, la, and there's a note on that piano that'll match it. We're singing now, but it's not like it's going to be over there. Well, praise God. Now, before God moves, you expect God to move again greatly and mightily?
Amen. Amen.
Before God moves, we have to have a new revelation of who God is.
Amen.
It's not new to God. He is and forever has been, but it's a new revelation to us. So in England, God said, I'm a holy God, holy God, holy God. Wester Brothers and some of them up at Oxford in a little hole. A meeting, they began crying out to God for His holiness. They confessed their sins one to another and then committed them to God. Before long, the wholeness revival swept around this earth. It's from a fresh, renewed revelation of who God is, not what God does.
Hallelujah.
It's first who God is, then second, what He does.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, God, then it come to the turn of the century. I say from about 1885 to 1920 or so, God kept saying, I'm God the Holy Spirit. Well, He's always been the Holy Spirit. I'm God the Spirit. I'm God the Spirit. Some of these denominational people, holiness people and others, they believe that. And what happened? We had the great Pentecost revival. And what happened? The signs started following.
They drove a stake down.
See, the signs follow the revelation.
Amen.
They don't bring the revelation. They follow the revelation. So God said that He's going to do a new thing. What kind of new thing? Well, some of you, you know, all the revelations of God is not for information. They're for formation. But I don't have the time for to discuss the revelations of God. I only want to say this. The time has come. God has a sovereign purpose to take the true believers in this generation into a height of glory by building a spiritual house for God the Father to dwell in and have them share in that glory. And the house is being built to be glorified with the glorified one. By faith, a mighty army can be seen coming up over the horizon.
Yes,
they have seen and experienced the great and marvelous works of God, but like Moses and David and others, they desire, pray, and cry out for the ultimate, ultimate experience of soul, spirit, satisfaction. They must see and partake of the glory of God Himself.
Amen. Amen.
We declare with them not only our spirits and souls, and as I previously mentioned, our very flesh cries out for God. It's one thing to cry to God for His works, but it's another thing to cry for God His ways.
Amen. Amen.
Thy kingdom come, we possess it. Thy will be done. We experience it. The glory, the breadth, the height, the depth. In this period of time, we will begin to think the impossible. Oh, once in a while we touch on it. But you're going to be known, the true followers of Christ will be known of thinking constantly impossible. You will see the invisible. If you've never had a dream, a vision. I'll even go to say if you've never seen Christ. I don't believe you ought to just seek God for dreams, visions. But the Bible said in Joel that part of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the last days would be dreams and visions.
Dreams and visions, yes.
Visions. you will see the invisible. You will hear the inaudible. In Jesus' day, God spoke from heaven. Some of them didn't hear anything.
That's right.
Others said, what was that? It thundered.
It thundered, yes.
I don't want to be one of those, say it thundered. I want to hear the inaudible. Touch the intangible. Sweetest thing to wake up during the night and an angel is stroking your face.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Amen.
You don't ask God for it. You don't beg God for it.
No, sir.
Angels love the heirs of salvation. You're one of God's.
Amen.
You belong to God. Touch the intangible. Speak the eternal. I was with a group of people, had to be social this week. And I'm not a social fellow, I'm sorry.
No, sir, brother.
I'm very sorry.
No, sir.
Nothing wrong with sociability. Everybody go on and you march to God's drumbeat for you. But you know, they're talking about the weather, talking about hunting, talking about killing deers. That's all right, but that's not my cup of tea.
No, sir.
I want to speak the eternal. Sometimes you have to start in that and try to lead it up to a spiritual way, but you notice it gets out of hand pretty quickly. We want to not only see the invisible, hear the inaudible, touch the intangible, speak the eternal, we want to perform the miraculous. Hold the indestructible. And hold to the unchangeable.
Amen.
Now you listen, I know I've must conclude here, and I haven't, I'm honest, I haven't reached very much what God's laid on my heart, but we shall be creatures in the future of unutterable bliss, in a state of heavenly Shekinah glory beyond anything that any of us can possibly imagine. God the Father is going to have a habitation. David wanted to build God a house, and he couldn't.
Right.
And he said, heaven is my throne, the earth my footstool, and where's the little dinky house you will build me? But God had a plan. In Zechariah, the 6th chapter, concerning the promise of the branch, who is to be the suffering servant, the branch, the Word of God shows us he's to be the Messiah, and the branch is to be Emmanuel, and the branch is to be priest-king. Those two always go together. If you believe in the priesthood of Jesus, he ever lives, make intercession for us, you better study the Word. You cannot deny his kingship.
Amen.
He's not going to be king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that right on?
Amen.
Now, the branch, it said particularly the branch should be sent for one mission. This is one of the ministries of Jesus that's been completely neglected and never mentioned. Said, he it is, the branch, that shall build the temple of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It says it over and over and over. Said, he shall sit upon his throne. He's on his throne right now.
Amen.
It
Amen.
Said he'll be after the order of Melchizedek, and that's king of righteousness.
And king of peace.
And the king of peace.
Yes.
So he's there right now on his throne.
Yes.
And the glory will be revealed and seen by all. Now, I mentioned when I started Emmanuel, there are 3 degrees of God's presence with us concerning Emmanuel. First is the universal presence of God. If you take the wings of the morning, the psalmist said,
I'll be there.
God's there, Emmanuel. He said, if I make my bed
in hell,
thou art there. You cannot escape the universal presence of Emmanuel. He's
Amen.
Everywhere. But wait a minute.
Amen.
The manifest presence of Emmanuel is where someone is having faith and claiming
yes,
a promise.
Sir, brother. Yes, sir.
That's a different thing.
Yes, sir.
It's God doing things for mankind. Then there's the third aspect or the third degree or the third height of Emmanuel. And that is Shekinah. Now, we believe those first two. But let me remind you that God is going to fulfill that last one. Emmanuel, God with us. And where God the Father is, the Shekinah glory is always there.
Amen.
The Shekinah glory hasn't reached this earth. We've had a little foretaste. We've had a little beams. And thank God for it. But as I see this thing, before man goes to eternally dwell with God, God the Father is going to come back a habitation, as Ephesians, the second chapter, said, the church groweth. The members of the body of Christ truly become living stones.
Yes, sir.
In a
yes.
spiritual building.
Yes, sir.
And Christ, our blessed Savior, who's head of the church and presently wearing the crowns, the dual crown of king and priest, that Christ, who is the head of the church wearing a crown, is going to truly become the chief cornerstone, and you and I, lively stones, stones that are alive to make up a habitation that God the Father that created. We know the scientists, astrologers say that there's 200 million universes that they've seen out there and can prove is out there. That God is coming back. That's the way it started. The voice of God. The voice of God walked in the cool of the evening. Clement, what are you talking about? Come on, get out of the natural and the supernatural, out of the earthly into the heavenly, out of doubt and fear into faith in Almighty God, out of stinking religion into vital relationship moment by moment with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, at that appropriate time, I don't know all the details. God will let it be known as we get near. But you know what? You know why there's such dearth in the American church? Little things scattered around the world, little sparks of fire, some of them revival. The church has thought she arrived. This is all there is.
Yes.
We've been there.
Yes.
We've done there.
Yes. Yes.
Any person or business, whatever it takes to bring you into existence and make you a success, it takes that and a little more to keep in that position.
Amen.
The church must have a challenge before or she'll remain as a Laodicean church, almost entirely with a small remnant, or the church can accept the challenge. We accept the challenge of salvation for all. We accept the challenge for the Holy Spirit upon all, and we've got to accept the challenge for the glory of God to be revealed to all flesh. And where God is, we have foretaste where God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and I don't belittle that, but God the Father, where He is. Now, God has visited this world before. The Bible particularly says He came down and talked to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said in the Exodus, the first chapter, God said, you know, or the third chapter, He said, Moses, Moses. And He said, I've seen their tears and heard their cries. And I am come down.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I am come down.
I am come down.
Yes, sir.
Not just the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir. I have come down.
Mm-hmm. I am come down,
yes,
to
sir.
Deliver them.
Yes, sir.
Now, when God comes down for the Shekinah glory and to inhabit this temple that the church becomes and groweth into, so many things and everything is really going to be changed. Those Hebrew children didn't have to get prayer meetings and beat each other in the back and scream and yell for deliverance. God came down and delivered.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
With all their faults and all their want. Brother, that is right on. Because God has given us, I think it's in the automobile last night coming out here, calls you out to bring you in. So that's good. So God the Father comes down. Their shoes wouldn't wear out. Their clothes wouldn't wear out. God supplied them every day with manna. A fire was over them. They didn't get cold. To lead and guide them and to warm them. A cloud was over them that they didn't get heated. And over hot in that desert area. I've been through there. When it's still all desert without roads, and I've been back since there's been roads through it. But God supplied their every need when He's declared the sovereign God and He came down.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You can imagine what's going to take place on this earth when God the Father comes down.
Amen.
Look what happened when Jesus the Son came. My Lord, my God. Within one generation, they had taken the old Roman Empire and broken its hinges of paganism and threw it over into Christianity. One long generation.
Yes, sir.
Think what happened when the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, came down to fulfill prophecy. The Spirit of God's always been here, but He came down. And God's Son came down that He might be lifted up. Now, think what's going to happen when God the Father Himself comes down. Let's all stand. I want everybody to praise the Lord.
Father, we thank You for...
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.